I'll look now at the readings for this Sunday, looking at the first reading, which is from Acts 2. A large block of it is omitted, as you notice probably in the missal, 2:14 and then 22 to 33. This is Peter's speech at Pentecost. The Spirit has just come in a rush of wind and tongues of fire, and endowed these men who were scared to death to stand out there and preach Jesus. And not only did they have courage, Peter and the others, but mostly Peter, had an anointing. He preached, and 3,000 people believed him, that Jesus was risen from the dead. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so our text says, so Peter, standing with the 11, including himself among the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judah and all sojourners in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." And then he says, he skips, remember, it'll be the full text at Pentecost. These men are not drunk. You see, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. After addressing the men of Judea, now he says, when we start our text, verse 22, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, you see, a man accredited to you on the part of God with mighty works and portents and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this man given up." Now Peter is very certain here. "This man given up by the determined plan and foreknowledge of God." How does he know that? Because the Old Testament is full of it. If you make a collection of the places in the New Testament where it says the Old Testament preaches Jesus and his death and resurrection, you search the scriptures hoping to find me. I'm there, John. Or Luke 24, I'm just trying to cite a few that come to memory, where he opened up the scriptures, whatever the scriptures were there, only the Old Testament, and showed them where they spoke of him. There are other texts all over the place. So that the Old Testament, properly understood, speaks of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his death and resurrection. We see it now clearly in the light of these events, but it's there. Some of the early fathers of the church have mentioned this before, like St. Justin, argues with Trifo on the basis of Isaiah about the resurrection and lordship of Jesus. Okay. So, you see, it was the determined plan and foreknowledge of God, whom through the hands of men outside the law, he's talking about the leaders, men outside the laws, you killed by crucifying. Him God raised up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he be held by it. For David says concerning him, and then we have this text from Psalm 16. David is talking about him. "I have set the Lord before me always, because he is at my right hand. My heart is glad, my tongue rejoices." Now this is an Old Testament author writing mystically and prophetically. "Even my flesh shall dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor will you let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Men, brothers, it is right to speak with confidence to you concerning the patriarch David, that he died and was buried, and his tomb is among us today." So he couldn't have been talking about himself when he says, you see, "You will not abandon my soul to Hades, but let your Holy One see corruption." There's his tomb. About whom is he speaking then, you see? "Being then a prophet, knowing that God had sworn to him to set the fruit of his loins upon his throne, foreseeing, he declared the resurrection of the Messiah, He, the Messiah, was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see decay. Notice on this Sunday how it's the preaching of the resurrection that explains Pentecost. Because that transformed humanity becomes the instrument by which the Holy Spirit is poured out. This Jesus God raised up. Of this we are all witnesses, exalted to the right hand of God, receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father. He poured him out, and that you both see and hear. And so you see the rhythm. Jesus died, pouring out his life. And in John already, as we just heard a few weeks ago at the Good Friday, he poured out the Spirit. Now, raised from the dead with a transformed humanity, he is the apt source in his divine nature, incarnate in the Word, in the humanity, to pour out the Holy Spirit. And so he does. And that's what you see and hear. It is the work of Jesus moving you to repent. Now that sermon was so powerful that it changed hearts. Why? Because Peter literally knew what he was talking about. He wasn't looking around for proof texts. He was expressing what he knew through his own experience of God and of Jesus, and explaining, this is the Pentecost. This is what the Lord had always promised. How many times have we read in Isaiah 44, Ezekiel 36, Joel 4, elsewhere, lots of places. I will pour out my Spirit in these latter days. And that's why he ends by saying, you see, he poured him out, alluding to all that prophetic tradition. And this is what we see and hear. Okay? Now, in Dei Verbum, we have this description of this moment. Indeed, after the ascension of the Lord, I'm quoting, the apostles handed on to their hearers what he had said and done. This they did with that clearer understanding which they enjoyed after they had been instructed by the glorious events of Christ's life and taught by the Spirit of truth. Now, during this period of intensive illumination, the various events of Christ's life were understood in their now completed existence in the risen humanity of Christ. I'm quoting myself here. This is not the council. It was the risen Christ himself who opened their minds to the understanding. You see, I remember once at the Biblicum, we were talking about, somebody had just given a lecture or something, maybe a doctrinal defense, I don't remember, about proof for the resurrection of Jesus. And when they got all finished, one of the profs, it might have been Martini, stood up and said, there's one more. The witness of Scripture, meaning the Old Testament. There's another witness to the resurrection of Christ. You see? You will not let your beloved one rot in Hades. And Jesus is this beloved one. And so, we have all this beautiful speech of Peter at this moment when we're celebrating Easter and getting ready for Pentecost. A great spiritual director, a mystic himself, used to say, if someone comes to me and wants spiritual direction, I ask them one question. Do you know the Holy Spirit? And from that answer, I can tell where they are in their walk with the Lord. It's a very profound and important grasp. You see? And so, what we're dealing with here, then, is with the mystery of the resurrection. And a mystery is an act of God in history. How many times in Scripture is this expounded? I think it's Augustine who says, audivimus historiam in quiramus mysterium. You've just heard the text, the event. Now, in the power of the Holy Spirit, let us penetrate so that we touch and know by experience the act of God in this act, which at this moment, as we're celebrating, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To know that interiorly by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you see, is to wean us from sin, strengthen our preaching, our witnessing, because, you see, it all hangs on Jesus being alive. Not just alive somewhere else, alive here. That's the meaning of the Eucharist, but it's the meaning of our whole life. And you see, it is the Holy Spirit. We ask the Holy Spirit, God the Father, to send the Holy Spirit to consecrate these gifts of bread and wine. Because to consecrate our minds, to give us a living knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus. You see? And so we have this fullness of the text. I want to move on to look at this idea. Now he said this of the Spirit. Remember when he said that? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. And he who believes in me, let him drink. Now he said this of the Spirit, which those who would receive who believed in him. Now Gregory the Great, affirming this, speaks about, you see, how the Spirit indwells the Scriptures. This is Gregory the Great. Sacred Scripture, in its very manner of speaking, is above all other sciences, because in one and the same word, while it narrates an event, it sets forth the mystery. It makes this gesture of God, this act of God in history, present in itself for us. That's where Peter got what he preached. That's where we'll get where we preach, you see? And so this speech of Peter is put here in the mouth of Peter, already by Luke, but celebrated in the church, because if we understand the movement of the Holy Spirit inside our lives, we will be moved by desire, and we will be confident that we can trust him and we can move with him. Now we're preparing for Pentecost, where we'll be returning to all of this, but you see, it took a transformed humanity joined to a divine person to be the instrument, the human instrument adapted to us, human, by which the Holy Spirit could be imparted. And he breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. The word in the text there for breathe is the same word in Genesis. God breathed on Adam. You see, Jesus breathed on them and gave them a new power and a new life. And so that's what we are celebrating. You see, when, for instance, Ezekiel tells us, a new heart I will give you and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That is, a human heart. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. So when we're preaching on this Sunday, you see, we're looking back to the resurrection, the transformed humanity, radiant and glorious, of the Word of God, who is still human. Even in heaven, as you read in the book of Revelation, he bears the marks of his slaughter. And that humanity is the source of the Holy Spirit, because it's transformed. But then you see, it's humanity to humanity. Until that humanity was transformed, there was no place, no access to us. Now there is.